Our reading of the Pentecost story continues in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 21. Refuting an accusation of drunkenness, Peter stands up in the public square to make sense of the confusion that the Holy Spirit has brought to the day. Let us listen together for God's word. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." May God bless this reading and hearing.
Then Peter stood up, Peter stood up, Peter stood up. Did you catch that line in chapter 2, verse 14 of our reading that Glenn just read for us? After the wind and fire, after speaking in other tongues and the reversal of Babel, after accusations of drunkenness, Peter did something that was really hard to do. As he was surrounded by miracle and chaos and doubt and certainly filled with fear, Peter found the courage somehow, some way, to stand up in the middle of a very mixed crowd and bear witness to the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ, even though it was hard and even though it was dangerous. In that moment, filled with the Holy Spirit as he was and surrounded by his other disciples, Peter spoke his faith aloud. And in that way, that simple way, he gave birth to the Church of Jesus Christ that we are still today. Then Peter stood up, then Peter stood up, then Peter stood up. Well, here we are some 2,000 years later, and from Peter up until now, there have been people of faith surrounded by miracle and chaos and doubt and certainly filled with fear, but who still managed somehow, some way, to stand up in the middle of a mixed crowd and bear witness to the good news. This morning, we don't have Peter with us, but happily, blessedly, awesomely, we do have Olivia and we have Owen. Two amazing people who have prepared through confirmation classes and a lifetime of walking their spiritual paths to do what Peter did so long ago, and to stand up and to bear witness to the good news and to give birth to the church anew. So that they can do that, and you can stop listening to me, I'm going to invite them forward in just a second, one by one, and have them communicate to you their faith journey, where they are today and their walk with Jesus. One last thing I do want to do before I do that, though, I would like to thank both of them and their families for committing to walking through this confirmation process. As we gather to talk, to learn, to question, and to share our journeys together this winter and spring, I know they didn't always want to be there. I know that sometimes they were rolling their eyes at me just like they are now. I know they did have and still do have many, many questions. And I imagine that there were times when they wondered if they should continue with confirmation at all. But continue they did. and they have arrived here this morning ready to confirm their baptismal vows, and knowing, I pray, that they are loved so very much by this congregation and by the God who made them, and also loved by me. So did you catch that last one? Loved by me. As a point of personal privilege, it is good to say to you in front of God and this congregation just how amazing I think that each of you are. Thank you for allowing me to walk with you these past 2 years for Owen and 1 year for Olivia, and I look forward to walking with you for many years to come. But enough from me. It's time for you to hear from Olivia and Owen, who stand before us now not only as students, but as teachers to us and as witnesses of their Christian faith. So, Olivia, I will invite you to come forward first and to stand up as Peter did so many Pentecosts ago.
Okay, hello everyone. Thank you all for being here on this rainy day. Hopefully it stopped raining by now. For those of you who don't know, my name is Olivia Brand. And as Kevin said, today I'm going to be presenting my faith journey with the help of some of my photos. Okay, so the first question that I asked myself when I found out that I needed to do this presentation was, what is a faith journey? So after Googling it and talking to people, talking to my parents, I came up with this rough draft of what I think it means. To me, a faith journey is a journey that you are on where you are doing what you think represents God's teachings. And going back to the very, very beginning, in our first confirmation class, I was asked, what is my relationship with God? And my very first thought was, well, I do pray to God for snow days, only during the winter though. And that was about it. So I definitely need to think more about that one. So the first step for me in my faith journey has been, and probably always will be, my family. My family provides me with unconditional love, acceptance, and they act as good role models for both good and bad things. To me, my family is like the roots of a tree. They provide structure, stability, and they provide nourishment. They stay with me no matter what branches I choose to take in my life. A really good example of this one is my grandmother. My grandmother, she's always been very important to me, but I had never thought of her in a faith journey sort of way until after she died. It was only then that I heard about how much volunteering she did, stories of people talking about how they needed help, she came, she did it, and then she left. She wasn't looking for credit or fame. She was just doing what was right because it needed to be done. The next aspect of my faith journey is giving back, which I have in common with both my grandmother and my mother. Many of you probably remember the fundraising that I did for the 2017 hurricanes. That was definitely quite the experience, and I could probably give a presentation as long, if not longer than this one, about what I learned. For me, I think the biggest thing that touched my heart was when I was at the Shelburne Farmers Market and I had little kids, like really little, coming up and just putting in a little tiny change. It was only quarters and stuff like that, but something about that just made me feel really good. They're young, they know that something has happened, and they want to help. It also might have been the fact that they saw pretty pens and saw the chance to doodle on it, but you know, that works too. Another thing that I did was my community service project. As an eighth grader at Shelburne Community School, you have two periods at the end of the day where you are either doing an art project in school, you're going to the craft school doing another project, or you're doing some sort of a community service. My community service was teaching clarinet lessons to fifth and sixth graders. So obviously, I have played the clarinet since I was their age, and when I was young, an eighth grader taught to me for a trimester, and that inspired me to keep moving and to push myself to get to where she was, and now I'm in her shoes. The best part about doing this was watching the kids come in and be really excited, watching them get there 10 minutes early, maybe to get out of class, but hopefully to go and have fun. And I hope I made the learning fun for them, and I think that's what I did. And the best part at the end was learning that they were going to move on and go up to the next level where you actually have to try out. You don't just go in. You have to try out and do well in order to keep moving up. That made me feel very, very good. My third aspect of my faith journey is seeing the beauty in God's simple things. People are oftentimes looking for a big sign from God, something crazy, something big to happen, that they forget that it's often the small things that are the most beautiful. In the process of looking for that big thing, they end up missing the small, simple things. Yeah. Okay, take this photo for example. This is a single dewdrop on a single blade of grass. Today, we probably stepped on those just getting in here. That probably speaks for itself. Life is not about the destination, it is about the journey. I think this photo truly represents what a faith journey is. It is long and it is never ending. It's complicated and it has bumps in it, but it doesn't stop. This is the end of my presentation. Thank you all for watching. It's not the end of my faith journey though, so.
Hello. Since I can remember, people have asked me what does this, church, mean to me. Obviously, when I was younger, I didn't really care about this too much. My dad was the pastor, and I had to go because I was the pastor's kid. So I quietly sat there, going to Sunday school and listening to the sermon once in a while. Then when I started getting older, it changed, but only a little bit. I still sat there because I had to, but I had started to listen to what my dad had to say. I didn't fully understand it, but that was all right, because it wasn't just a chore anymore. I could start to understand what all these people had been coming over and over for years to hear about this book, this story, and the miracles that it held. Then I grew up some more and saw that religion can do great things. When I was in sixth grade, I went to Pine Ridge, South Dakota. Pine Ridge is a Native American reservation, and it's the poorest county in the nation and one of the poorest in the world. We were working with Remember. Remember is an organization that helps people and families on the reservation with skirting their trailers and digging holes for outhouses, as many people don't have indoor plumbing. Every night after long, hard days of working in 100-degree weather, a native speaker comes in and talks about faith in their life and on their reservation. It's a very powerful time every night, and this really opened doors to my faith journey as I had finally seen in a very real way how religion impacted and gave people without any other hope, hope. It's an incredible experience that I've been lucky to go twice. Here comes the hard part, the criticism. Even though religion can be amazing, it has also been responsible for many of the wars for thousands of years. Just last week, 60-plus people were killed over a territory dispute that happened to be about Jesus' birthplace, and yet we rarely talk about that side of religion. The only reason I had to visit Pine Ridge at all is because we used our religion to eradicate their beliefs and way of living, their language and their traditions, and still we rarely talk about this side of religion because it's hard. Religion can be amazing, but it's been used to hurt over and over again, and it's that side is still rarely talked about, but it needs to be. And confirmation class has been a great place to talk about this and other important parts of religion and faith. So after learning all of this, all of the good and the bad, the boring and the beautiful, the amazing and the awful, I have decided to join the church. As a pastor's kid, I have been looking forward to this since I saw my first confirmation service, the time when I was 7. I was excited to have class and talk about the ideas in practice and finally be old enough to join all of this. All of the community and family and service and sermons, and here is the day. Today I'm joining most of you in an official faith way. I'm here to confirm my faith in the United Church of Christ. However, I have decided not to join this church right now. Don't worry, it's nothing personal. But I don't feel comfortable joining this church yet because I have been here less than a year, and I'm still getting to know this place and getting to know all of you. So I would like to thank everyone in this church community for their hospitality, friendliness, and accepting me and my family into this church. And hopefully I can receive any ongoing faith support from each and one of the people who would like to guide me in my ever-changing, never-ending faith journey. Thank you.